Hare Krishna. Before I start, one erratum, correction from yesterday's answer on why Sri Advaita instead of Jaya Advaita in the Panchatattva Mantra. Gunagrahi Maharaj sent a correction on this, which you can read in the articles. But basically, it said that in Srila Prabhupada's time, we were chanting Bhaja, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, and Srila Prabhupada had changed that upon hearing the unauthorized mantra chanting of some pseudo-Vaishnavas. And so he didn't want us to chant Bhaja anymore, but he said you can chant Jai or Sri Krishna Chaitanya and Jai Advaita or Sri Advaita. However, since Chaitanya Charitamrita almost always says Sri Advaita, therefore the recommendation is to chant Sri Advaita Gadadhara. You can read a more detailed explanation and quotations from Srila Prabhupada in the articles section. And thank Gunagrahi Maharaj for sending in this correction. Today, I have a very interesting question from Shaito Shandor, which I will abbreviate because it's quite lengthy. But basically, he's bringing up a very interesting topic, interesting from different points of view. And he says, why is it that when strangers come to Krishna consciousness, devotees are very nice to them and considerate and so on? But if later a devotee changes his mind about his commitment to Krishna consciousness, shows some kind of weakness, or is not able to stick to his vows, then devotees ignore him, reject him, and don't behave in the same way to him as they did to that very same person who first came to Krishna consciousness feeling great attention, affection, and love. So there are two aspects that I just like to deal with. This one is that yes, we do treat devotees of different stature, different commitments to Krishna consciousness differently. We, meaning the devotee community, and yet at the same time, we need to be able to do that in such a way that we don't reject or turn people away unless they happen to really show envious or offensive mentality that just can't be managed in any way. But let's say that's a really real minority. So both of these things are there. Distinction is made, and yet at the same time, we need to be, when we make that distinction, we need to still be encouraging people to move forward. Alright, so, certainly when someone doesn't know anything about Krishna consciousness, we encourage them, bring them forward, deal with them in a very nice and loving attitude, and more the issue is that expectations from them are very low. We don't expect anything from a person who doesn't know anything about Krishna consciousness, but rather we, and therefore we overlook many of the defects that they may have. However, as devotees come to Krishna consciousness, and as they become learned in the process of devotional service, they become aware of the absolute truth, what it means to be a human being, what's expected of a human being, then naturally the responsibility upon them especially when they take vows of initiation, becomes much more serious. There is a responsibility. And when someone does not fulfill their responsibilities, like responsibilities of vows of initiation and so on, then naturally there will be a different type of conduct towards them, or they will be appreciated in a different way. Rupa Goswami says as much in Upadeshamrita. Similarly, Bhagavatam says, Prema Maitri Kipokpeksha Yat Karoti Samadhyama, that according to the conduct of a person, he's related to in different ways by the devotee community. So that is not wrong. And does that mean that someone who does not fulfill his vows of initiation, or someone who steps down from the standard of devotional service, has a lesser stature, or really does deserve to be treated differently than he was before? And the answer is that yes, we can't ignore these scriptural statements, or just some things that come to mind, statements that Srila Prabhupada said. For instance, when asked, what about devotees who, after initiation, can't chant 16 rounds? Prabhupada said, then he's not a human being. Then he's an animal. It's on folio. Devotees can look it up. This was Srila Prabhupada's statement. Srila Prabhupada wrote also to a disciple who had heard that Prabhupada rejected him as a disciple because he had a beard. And Prabhupada wrote to him, it's also there in the folio, he said, yes, my disciples don't wear beards, and therefore if you wear a beard, then you're no longer my disciple, because you've rejected the principle. In other words, it's not just the beard that was the issue, but it was the principle that you follow Srila Prabhupada, you follow your guru, according to that particular standard. And then, a topic that Prabhupada repeatedly emphasized, which was, what about the devotees who don't maintain their vows of initiation? And Prabhupada said that he's not a gentleman. He's no longer a gentleman. A gentleman sticks to his word. How can someone just give up his word that he's given? So I'm giving these examples of Srila Prabhupada, who, in one sense, spoke quite openly, explicitly, about devotees who didn't maintain the standard, and therefore treated them quite differently than he treated those who first came to Krishna consciousness with absolutely no awareness or no knowledge of what Krishna consciousness is about. And here's a principle that we should consider, that knowledge of right and wrong, even if you're initiated or not initiated, brings along with it a responsibility. Some examples from the world around us. For instance, children can be naughty, they can hit each other, fight amongst each other, they can steal from each other, they can say all kinds of things, and they're not subject to the laws of the land. It's expected that their parents will correct their conduct. However, when you become an adult, you just can't say anything. For instance, nowadays, it is illegal to deny the Holocaust. It is illegal to publicly promote Nazi signs like swastika and things like that. So perhaps children may get away with such a thing, but as an adult, you cannot. different thing is expected from adults. They're meant to really know the difference between right and wrong. You can't steal. A child can maybe steal his another friend's toy, but you can't steal your neighbor's car. You go to jail if you do. So knowledge brings along with it responsibility, and you're treated differently by society when you have knowledge. You're expected to behave differently. And to say that, well, it's a slip, or I changed my mind, changing your mind you can't do. If it's a slip, then according to sign and circumstance, it needs to be judged how serious that slip is. It may be that despite the fact that you have a slip, you may still have to pay for that. But nonetheless, in the Vaishnav community, how it is that we respond to devotees' slips in spiritual practice, their giving up vows of initiation, it needs to be done with balance. It needs to be done in such a way that we encourage people to come up to a certain standard, to continue with their vows, to advance forward in devotional service. And that's that, I can say, doesn't necessarily always happen. So, yes, as a society, we may sometimes have to take certain punitive measures. How can you not do that? But at the same time, that needs to be communicated and managed in such a way that devotees recognize, all right, I did something wrong. I neglected rejected the orders of the Lord, because ultimately when we have transcendental knowledge and knowledge of right and wrong, when we go against those principles, who are we going against? Ultimately, we're going against Krishna. And certainly, devotees of Krishna will not look on that favorably. They will also think, well, if you're rejecting Krishna, it's not just simply some kind of rule, but you're rejecting actually Srila Prabhupada's standards, Krishna's standards. So it's not just some small thing, but still, and especially for those who have already come forward with Krishna consciousness, rendered so much service, somehow or another the management of this type of reciprocation, it may be a certain punishment, needs to be done in such a way that the devotees in question understand that, accept it, feel encouraged, still have the support to move forward. So it is not that we just reject or ostracize someone, unless they're really a hopeless case. But generally, that's not necessarily the situation. So both of these things are also are there. Yes, we deal differently with devotees of different commitments, practices, and standards, but still the overall ideal is that everyone, whether perfect follower or not perfect follower or in between, are moving forward on the path back to Krishna. Hare Krishna.